Hey, what's going on? This is DJ Hoppa, and you are listening to Rebel Radio with my man, Josh Levine. Stay tuned.
What's up? This is Rebel Radio.
What up? What up? This is DJ Newmark.
This is Peanut Butter Wolf.
It's your boy. It's okay.
Keep checking out Rebel Radio.
Rebel Radio.
This is Rebel Radio.
We're in the place right here. Rebel Radio is going down.
Would you say Rebel Radio?
Oh, wait. Let's do it again.
Rebel Radio.
Yo, welcome back to Rebel Radio. Today is a very special part two of my interview with DJ Hoppa. We had so much good stuff last week that we had to split it up into two. So I hope you went and checked out the last one. If you're hearing this for the first time, go back and listen to that one. If not, we power on. DJ Hoppa, if you don't know him, he's the director of the Scratch DJ Academy. He's got his own label, I think, called Feeling Good Music. He's also the host of Music Mornings on Dash. And as you'll hear, he's a bit of an aspiring life coach. He's got some great stories about his personal battle with epilepsy and what that's taught him in his life and how that's given him some really interesting challenges and interesting tools to work with in his life and career. The big lessons in this coming up is how to not let other people limit what you can do, and why you should eliminate always and never from your vocabulary. Good stuff there, as well as some crazy stories about Hoppa's near-death experience. I hope you dig it. And before we get into all that seriousness, let's hear our EDM.com track of the week. Yo, that was Zuni, Z-E-U-N-Y, with a track called Days Like This, the EDM.com track of the week. And now this is DJ Hoppa.
At the end of the day, man, I think you just kind of learn to take a step back and to sort of look at, you know, it in a bigger way.
Yeah.
You
know? No. Well, so I want to talk about something a little, you know, personal that relates to that. And I know that you have epilepsy.
Yeah.
And it, you know, I've seen some of the videos of you talking about that publicly.
Yep.
So I don't know much about that, but it doesn't sound like fun.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, how does that affect your career as a DJ and you know, all the stress and stuff that you know, we're talking about?
I'm so fortunate to be in a position to be able to talk about this. And, you know, oftentimes I feel like I'm a voice for the voiceless. I'll give you kind of the quicker version of the story. But I was in high school at Wash, senior year of high school. I'd been accepted to UCLA on a full ride already. And I went to sleep one night. And I mean, we're in the spring, man. So I'd already been accepted. Like literally the only thing I had left were several AP tests. But I wasn't really stressed about any of that. I mean, I'd already gotten to where I wanted to go,
right?
You know,
sure.
They weren't going to pull my scholarship or anything. So that was just kind of cherry on top stuff. And, you know, I like to paint this picture because I want people to know how like ridiculous it was. I mean, like Wash was an open campus for lunch. And so I had this great relationship with this English teacher, AP English teacher that we had. And me and my buddies would take her red drop top convertible BMW out to lunch. Like, she would give us the keys to her car.
Wow.
And we would take her car out for lunch. Like, not with her, nothing. She would stay at school, and we would just take her car and,
That's amazing.
You know, come back for, you know, whenever we wanted, sort of, you know. And, like, that was how ridiculous it was. Like, literally, I was, like, on top of the world. And, man, like, one night I went to sleep, woke up in the middle of my floor, had no idea what happened, and tried to kind of shake it off, thought I had a bad dream. Next night, same thing. This time I wake up and my mom and my sister are both, like, standing over me, like, crying. They rush me to the hospital. Ambulance comes and everything. They rush me to the hospital. They start doing a bunch of tests. And all of a sudden now, instead of worried about where we're going to go for lunch in my teacher's, you know, BMW, now I'm trying to figure out, like, what the hell is epilepsy? And they're like, you know, you suffered from a seizure. It's probably what happened the night before. This is now your new reality. And I'm sitting in a neurologist's office, like, doped up on, you know, meds, because they're testing stuff, you know. And so I was practically a vegetable for, like, 2 weeks. And I'm sitting in a neurologist's office, and he's telling me, you know, somebody with your condition at this state in your condition, I don't think you should leave for school. And I also think that maybe you should rethink college all the way around. And I'm like,
oh, shit.
What?
Yeah.
No. And I was like, you know, basically I was like, go fuck yourself. I'm going to UCLA. And in hindsight, man, I can't. I mean, I got two little ones. I got two little daughters, and, like, I still can't believe my parents, like, agreed to me going to UCLA. And I'm so grateful that they trusted my own internal instincts and my own, you know, judgment to do so, and gave me that freedom. Because, you know, man, I don't know what I would do if I were in their shoes, you know. And I can't even imagine, like, the fear that they would have. I mean, probably a lot of sleepless nights, you know, sending their kid who's just been diagnosed with epilepsy to a whole nother city to live on his own at college. And, you know, I mean, in hindsight, the neurologist, I felt like, had good intent, right? But the way in which it was delivered in his bedside manner was not done in the right sort of way.
Right.
And a part of me, too, I appreciate, I'm thankful for my rebellious attitude when I'm Rebel Radio. I appreciate my rebellious attitude at that point, too, to not have that filter. Because if that were to happen today, me being the 36-year-old me probably would act a bit differently.
For sure.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I didn't have anything to lose at 17, right, really, you know?
Yeah.
Whereas now at 36, I mean, I certainly have a lot to lose.
Of course.
So I say all that to just also be a constant reminder to myself and to others out there to sort of trust that inner gut sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, the older we all get, you know, the more some of these conversations and these conversations with doctors are going to come up, you know, and not to say to a doctor at 36 to go fuck himself. But to also, like, just kind of, for me, it's a reminder to keep that in mind, though, too, of like, you know, you're going to be the best judge of what you can or can't do. So, and I think there's a lot of people that are out there, epileptic or not, that are told, you can't do this, you can do this, but you can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, like, it's really important for people to, like, sure, take that, but take that with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be reckless, you know, but also don't be overly cautious. Like, you really afford yourself, you cheat yourself out of a lot of experiences if you weren't. I mean, I think back and, like, what if I didn't go? Like, what if I said, I'll stay home. Man, I can't even imagine the different trajectory my life would have been.
For sure. And I think we all have, you know, these self-limiting beliefs, right?
Yeah.
And you know, yours may be more extreme in some ways than others. But I think it's a great point, because it's ultimately, you know, it's about what you do in the face of those things, right? And do you accept them?
100%.
Or do you challenge them?
100%. And I think, like, I'm not here to tell everybody that, like, actually, it's funny. I just came from this 2-day workshop of, like, really that I felt was, like, probably one of the best things that I could have done for myself. It was a group of people. I want to shout them out, too. A friend of mine, Caduce, who used to be a VJ on MTV.
Okay.
He's now sort of transitioned into coaching and helping people, life coach sort of things, really with an entertainment kind of focus. Mm-hmm. Him and his girl, Carmina, they're fantastic people, but they have this program called The Camera Ready. But it's not so much even about, like, you know, a hosting workshop or preparing for that necessarily. It's really about, like, you know, you discovering more about you as a person, you know, and kind of doing a deeper dive into you. But one of the things that came out of that, not inside the workshop, but in my sort of journaling after the fact, was this concept around changing some of my language. And one of the things that I really expressed even to my staff, my teaching staff in LA yesterday, was eliminating the words always and never from your vocabulary.
Okay.
And this concept of that, you know, I will never do this. Like, I mean, when I was 22, I said I would never DJ a wedding. Funny enough, I've done like 7 weddings already this year, and I really enjoy, you know, DJing weddings these days.
It feels like that changed, like that stigma.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I had Mike B, you know, the Mike B on the show, and he DJed my wedding.
Right.
And like, and I was like embarrassed kind of to ask my friends who were DJs.
Right.
He was a great DJ, but also I didn't know him.
Right.
So I didn't have, but I had a lot of friends that were DJs, and I was too embarrassed to ask
them. To ask your friends who you know.
Because it's like a cheesy thing back then.
Right.
And I've been married 13 years. So back then it was like a cheesy thing to DJ a wedding.
Right.
So anyway.
But yeah, you know, and this idea of even the opposite of saying always, you know, that like I will always be DJing.
Yeah.
Like I will always be a hip hop head or whatever. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, you know, I mean, there's so many different instances in which like always and never are very limiting words, you know, and the power of words. I mean, I think we all know the power of words, you know? So I think like all that to say that I think changing your mindset and being somebody who is open to change and open to trying new things and open to sort of taking some risks, you know, taking maybe some calculated risks, you know, but taking risk and not being so risk averse. Like, I think it's important for people out there to keep that in mind. And you know, honestly, one of my big missions with epilepsy in particular is, I didn't realize this until many years later, but just so that you guys all know that are out there, I was embarrassed of my epilepsy for a long time.
Yeah.
It took me about 10 years to be okay with it.
Hey, check it out. Rebel Radio is brought to you by Wix.com. Do you need a website? No, let me tell you, you do need a website, and you can do it yourself with Wix.com. No matter what business you're in, if you got a startup, your music career, your earwax collection, I don't know what you're doing. Whatever it is, you need a website. And Wix is used by more than 84 million people worldwide. It makes it easy to get your website live today. You can spend time on your business. Don't spend time building your website. There's hundreds of designer-made templates to choose from. Use the drag-and-drop editor. You drop in your images, your videos, your copy. And next thing you know, you have a beautiful website that you built yourself. It's fast. It's easy. It's free. We did it with rebelradio.net. Check it out. And you can see the amazing work you can do with Wix.com. You're too busy with everything else? Stop worrying about your website. Wix.com, it's easy and free. Go to Wix.com, create your own website today, send it to us, and we will promote it online. All right.
This didn't come till many years later. So just so everybody knows, there's like a happy ending to the epilepsy story. You know, my freshman year of UCLA was the toughest year to date for me. Mm. I graduated Wash with a 4.25 GPA. I'm at and without really even trying. And then I'm at UCLA and I'm getting D's and F's and incompletes. And part of that was just being at UCLA and like the bar was higher. But a big part of it too was I was having a seizure every week. So, and you know, I'm trying to live a quote unquote normal freshman year as much as possible, you know, but seizures are brought on and sort of can be sparked by stress, lack of sleep, irregular diet, drugs. I mean, this, this is the, the college, this is the college, you know, lifestyle, man. And so it was like the perfect storm. And, you know, I'm trying to be as normal as possible. I'm trying to throw these parties, you know, in our dorm. I'm, you know, I'm drinking. I'm doing other things like, you know, and yeah, man, having a seizure every week, being rushed to the hospital every week. Had a moment actually where, you know, they say, I don't know if you've ever experienced a near-death experience, but I certainly have. There were moments where... at the lowest point, I came home from school, came home from class one day. I was the only one at home. I'm laying in my bed. I felt hot, felt like a fever. I'm laying in bed, and this is before I had a cell phone or anything like that. I'm like feeling like I cannot control how hot I'm getting. And I look over to the phone, and I'm like, I need to call somebody. And I look towards like the landline that's sitting on, you know, my roommate's desk over here. And I can't move my body. Like, I literally cannot move my arms, can't move my anything. And I'm just like, I'm starting to like just sweat profusely. And I'm just like, man, something is wrong here. I need to do something about this. And I just start crying because at that point I was just like, I feel completely helpless. Nobody's home. This might just be it. Everything goes white. I start seeing this like real flashing. I mean, this whole thing of your life flashing before your eyes. And like, I mean, literally like it was this reel that was playing on this side and on this side, and then it would stop and it would be some random thing. It would be like me and my sister playing outside my parents' house, playing catch outside my parents' house. And like fast forward and like other imagery. Next thing I know, I wake up and I'm in the emergency room. They're like, your roommates brought you in here. When they brought you in, you had 107 degree fever.
Oh.
They're like, we almost lost you. And so, you know, for me, one thing that epilepsy has really done for me, though, is it's really given me a sense of appreciation for life and for really taking advantage of every single moment of every single day. And I'm so grateful for that because when I... at the start of this story, I told you, you know, I'm taking my freaking teacher's car out for lunch. And like, I'm literally felt invincible. And I think this was, you know, no matter what your faith is, for me, like, I believe that this was like God's way of saying, like, yo, you've got this too easy, man. Like, and you're going to go down this really destructive path if I don't give you something to have to deal with. And, you know, epilepsy was that challenge for me to have to like really work on and really not necessarily slow down because I think I actually sped up because of it. My seizures only happened at night when I was sleeping. So I then started not wanting to sleep. And I mean, like, and also just like this, that in combination with just like never knowing, like when, when my time would come, I mean, that was part of why I was so successful with like our distribution company. I'm calling people and I don't care if you say no. I might die tomorrow. Like, I really don't care. Like, I like, what do I have to lose to be like, yo, are you going to take 20 of these or 30? You know, like I have no, there's nothing you could say that would phase me that would be like, oh man, okay. You know, and it's funny because now I feel like first of all, I've been seizure free for 10 years. Which has been huge. And a big part of that was also finding the right doctor, finding the right medication at the time to like get me better and kind of stop the avalanche, you know, slow that That's down. Huge. And then once I was able to do that, I was able to focus on other things, like focus on other aspects of my health. I started eating better, started, you know, really trying to do more and be more active. I mean, I was an athlete in high school, but... you know, some of this kind of got me sluggish and got me, you know, wanting to not be as active. But you know, all of that has really certainly helped too. And I mean, currently, man, I'm not on any medication either. Like, I've weaned myself off of medication. I've been seizure free for 10 years. And it's something that, like, I now have the ability and the power, though, to be able to make a difference for the people that aren't necessarily in that same boat. And there's a lot of people out there that have seizures, not on a weekly basis, but on an hourly basis, man. I mean, there's...
Is that right?
Yeah, there's kids that are out there that are... I mean, it's the most heart-wrenching thing, man, to, like, see a young kid, you know, maybe a teenage kid who's full of life, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden snaps into a seizure and comes back from it and is still full of life and then snaps back into a seizure and, like, because of that, isn't able to live to his or her fullest potential, you know what I mean? And not even just kids, but adults, you know, full-blown adults who are losing their job because of a seizure, you know? Like, and there's such this stigma around it still. And it's a very scary thing. It's actually, you know, something that people should know is that, you know, if I'm having a seizure, I actually won't even remember that,
right.
You know? Like, I'm going to wake up and my body's going to be sore and I'm going to feel out of it. But the trauma isn't necessarily on my side. It's on your side.
Yeah,
like you, the trauma you. Of, right, seeing that and that unknown is scary for people. But, you know, one of the things that I really hope to do, man, is to try and destigmatize epilepsy. Mm. And I think that there's a lot of ways to do that, in my opinion. And, like, for me, one of the biggest things that I want to do is to make this relatable. Mm-hmm. So just because you don't have epilepsy and just because you don't have seizures doesn't mean that you can't understand how I feel about that, right? And I think that if we can kind of humanize this and make this more universal, I think it takes some of the wind out of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are this is a crazy stat. 1 in 26 Americans have epilepsy.
Yeah, I read that. That's so crazy.
Dude. I see more than 26 people a day, you know, you know, oftentimes I'm in a club playing, you know, or in a situation where there's 500 people. Okay. Well, if you do the math,
right.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, four in a hundred,
yeah.
You know, like, yeah, 20 people essentially have epilepsy in that room.
Wow.
It's insane, man, but nobody's talking about it, you know, and it's, I'm not the big fish that's really going to reel in, you know, all the exposure. But anything that I can do to kind of mobilize the army that's out there and to get people to feel okay with this. And I also know the other side of it. So I was telling you is I was not okay with this for many years. And it was Jed who I have to thank. I mean, it was Jed who really made me talk about this. Mm. And we were at lunch one day and, I mean, I hope Jed doesn't mind me sharing this, but I think it's really powerful. We're at lunch one day and he's like, I think you should really share your story. I've been thinking about it. And, you know, I let the close people in my circle know mm-hmm. about the epilepsy side of it, especially if something were to ever happen, you know. But he was like, I think you should talk about this. And I was like, nah, no, you know, nobody wants to hear that. And I'm not really wanting to talk about this. And at the time I was on KTLA every morning. DJing on the news. I was the Paul Schaefer of the morning news, for those who don't know. And I did that for 2.5 years. And it was great, man. And so he's like, I think you should talk about it. I was like, no. And he was like, you know, I'm bipolar. And it like literally knocked me back in my chair. Just being like, what?
Yeah.
You're bipolar.
Wow.
And my knee-jerk reaction was like, you don't look like you're bipolar. And he was like, you don't look like you have epilepsy. And I was like, okay, you got me. And then from that moment on, like Jed reached out to the biggest epilepsy organization at the time, which was epilepsy.com. And yeah, man, I started to talk about my story and, mm-hmm. you know, it felt so good.
I bet.
To talk about it.
Yeah.
We debuted this on air on the KTLA morning show around the first national walk mm-hmm. in D.C. for epilepsy that I was a part of. And we talked about this on air. As soon as we cut, there were four anchors on the desk. Two of them instantly had stories about this. my best friend growing up had a seizure in front of me. And I've never thought about that until now. My sister growing up had epilepsy and had seizures and, you know, still deals with that. You know, so to me, man, like, I want this to be something that people look at not as this, like, disease or this thing that, like, oh, I don't have epilepsy. I can, you know, keep scrolling, you know?
Yeah.
And I think oftentimes that's also our fault, like, within the epilepsy community, because we lead with that.
Mm-hmm.
We lead with, like, here's 10 facts about epilepsy.
Right,
here's
right,
blah, 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 blah. And it's so clinical.
Yeah,
and it's
not
human. No,
right.
It's not. And that's the part that's really off-putting, because I know that I can feel that way too sometimes about, like, I'm looking at lupus and I'm just like, don't have lupus. So, you know, no big deal.
Right.
And, you know, you go to the grocery store, right? And they're like, do you want to donate a dollar to whatever? And you're just like, you know, but if there's an actual connection.
For sure. Yeah.
It's different.
Yeah.
If your mother had breast cancer, you would be that much more inclined to, like, listen to that message, right? And so my biggest thing is to try to get people to get out there, talk about it, talk about this whole thing, and really also to, on the humanizing part, to not make this about epilepsy, but to make it about what the human part of it is, which is this is a challenge.
Yeah.
This is a struggle that you have to go through, and maybe on a daily basis, maybe on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, or whatever it might be, but this is a challenge that somebody is going through, and I think everybody can relate to challenge.
Hey, if you're feeling this one, go back to the vault. Check out my interview with Kevin Kerslake and Kevin Scott. They were the producers of the DJ AM documentary a while back. Hoppa mentions Kevin Scott. They started out in business together, and those guys have some great stories as well about their journey through DJ culture in making that movie. If you haven't seen the movie, make sure you see it. But first, listen to the rest of this interview, damn it. DJ Hoppa on Rebel Radio. So let's talk about that. With, you know, this obviously has been a major challenge, and you've had other interesting challenges.
Yeah.
What decision has had the biggest impact on your career?
You know, if I want to go all the way there, I think it, you know, was obviously coming to LA. That was, and staying in LA, that's been, like, the biggest impact. But, you know, every day I make a decision that has a ripple effect. You know, I've made decisions years ago that are now having effects now. You know, I mean, like, my decision, let's say, even to say yes to that, to the KTLA opportunity, you know, has had effects. You know, the decision to continue to teach or to be a part of the school, like, will have ripple effects later on in life. That I, you know, we've created a community that exists. I've taught people, I've given people a skill set that not only is applicable to DJing, but is applicable to life in general.
Mm-hmm.
And years from now, you know, my real hope is that years from now, you know, I'm going to bump into somebody, you know, 20 years from now, let's say, and they're just like, oh my God, like that decision for me of taking classes at Scratch changed my trajectory, changed my life. And so, you know, to me, it's hard to identify one. And I think that there's so many throughout my life that have led to that, which is also then, you know, again, something to be considered on a daily basis for me of, like, you know, the decisions to be made. I mean, even the decision to say yes to coming on to your show today is going to have effects beyond just this conversation, you know?
Absolutely.
And I think it's important for everybody out there to just keep that in mind too, is that a decision that you make today will have real effects, positive or negative, down the road. In that, you know, not to then, the idea is not to scare anybody into, like, oh, then I shouldn't make a decision, you know, but more so that just, I think, keep that in mind. And I'm a true believer of, I've got several tattoos, and two of them that I'm like, actually technically all of them, but the three that I think are the most, that are reminders for me are life's too short, which is on my forearm here. And then I've got Follow Your Heart and Lead with Passion on the other. And I think, like, to me, those are like great mantras for me as a reminder for myself. And it's part of the reason why, even with my tattoos, they're faced inward for reminders for myself of that. And yeah, I think as long as you're, thinking to yourself, is this authentically me? Is this really me, or am I making this decision for somebody else?
Yeah.
Or because I'm hoping for a different outcome, as opposed to really following what my gut instinct is and what my heart is telling me to do, you know?
Yeah, that's dope. Hey, so I have a little speed round.
Okay.
Before we wrap it
cool,
up.
Cool, let's do it.
So if you can go back to... your 18-year-old self.
Yeah.
And give one piece of advice, what would you say?
I would say fight through it because it'll be better. Like, this will get better. I think at 18, I was that was right in the thick of me going through all of that. And I think, like, if I could give myself reassurance, that would be great. I mean, I don't regret anything at all. I think even those instances and that instance that I described to you of almost, you know, losing my life was a really important thing to go through.
Sure.
And so I wouldn't want to prevent my 18-year-old self from having any of those experiences, but just almost reassurance that, like, it'll be okay. Like, I'm on the other side and this all works out.
Yeah. What is there a talent you always wish you had more of?
I wish I could play more instruments. I wish I could play the piano or the guitar or something like that. I mean, I played the drums and I'm more of a percussion-based dude, and, like, you know, that obviously helps with the rhythm with DJing. But I definitely wish I could play something or have the ability to sing.
Yeah.
My wife is a singer-songwriter, so luckily I have that still at home.
Right.
And that part to me is cool. But yeah, I guess probably to play another instrument.
Interesting. So I know we're almost out of time, but, you know, we haven't talked at all about Feeling Good.
Oh, yes.
And the music that you're making.
Yeah.
And so, you know, just maybe quickly give us the quick rundown of that. And I'm curious, you know, why, with everything else that you're doing, like, why are you making music? And like,
yeah, I think so. We created this act called Feeling Good, P-H-I-L-N Good. And the whole concept behind it is that it's a DJ-led act. With live instruments, sort of in, if I had to put a genre to it, it's, you know, tropical house, deep house, like a little on that pop side of things too, a little Major Lazer influence, DJ Snake influence in there too. But also, you know, it's got a Latin twist to it. It's got, the easiest way I describe our sound is feel good sound. And that's where that feeling good sort of comes from too. But yeah, we've been working on a lot of remixes. We just released an official remix of Bell Biv DeVoe Poison. And did like a deep house treatment to it. Thank you, man. You know, and added in live horns, live instrumentation. Yeah, I'm really excited about it. And for me, it's just another creative outlet. I collaborate with two other amazing people, DJs and producers, my man Dirty D and J Rhythm. And together we make up Feeling Good. And this idea of just being able to release music, I've actually learned more about the industry in the last 12 months than I have in the last 12 years. You know, and I've been in the industry, quote unquote industry, for that long. But it's definitely different to be in the driver's seat and to be talent and to then have to deal with all of the stuff that's out there in today's world. So I'm really excited about it. You know, we've got some new music coming in 2017. We're working with some great artists. We've got a track that we're finishing up with this guy down in Trinidad. His name is Sherwin Winchester.
Okay.
He jumped on one of our remixes earlier this year. We've got an original record with him that we're getting ready to get out there for Carnival down in Trinidad. So yeah, we're excited about a lot of like what will happen on that side.
That's dope.
Yeah,
nice. Well, we definitely have to check for that. Do you collect anything?
Records.
Yeah.
That's an obvious one. I collect records. I was in this whole like collecting sneakers phase, and I grew out of that, man.
It's
a good one to grow out of. I can't compete, man. Some of these guys are crazy. Shout out to my man DJ Ski, who's just like ridiculous with it. I can't even keep up. For sure. And I'm glad I'm not trying to. That would also be maybe my 18-year-old self. I would tell my 18-year-old self to slow down on the sneakers.
Smart.
If anything, the thing that I have the most of is headphones.
Mm, okay.
God bless all these headphone companies that are out there. But, like, I mean, it's ridiculous. There's too many headphone brands that are out there.
Yeah.
It's certainly oversaturated. I'll take them, though. Sure. I mean, we can always use another set of headphones around the house. But that's definitely something I've got too many of.
Right. So if I was on your team, if I worked, you know, for you at Scratch or in any of your endeavors, What is something I would hear you say over and over?
Oh, man. Say over and over again. I mean, nowadays, a big thing that I'm saying, especially right now, is this whole concept of, like, eliminating this, like, never or always. Like, mm-hmm. I'm saying that all the time, like, now. And, I mean, there's constantly things that I go through. But probably one of the biggest things is I'm big on motivation, and in my future self and some of the things that I'm working on and working towards, I'm really interested in pursuing a future as a coach, a deeper coach, rather than just on the technical side.
Yeah.
Even in the classroom now, I work with a lot of my students on visualization technique, you know, organizational techniques, just ways to help like enhance just their everyday life.
Okay.
And I do have several people that come to me for that. And it's certainly a passion of mine that I am really excited to share with even more people moving forward. So I definitely see like life coach sort of stuff in my future.
Dope.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Who would you be most excited to learn is a fan of your work?
Oh, man, there's so many people. I mean, I'm excited every time. Like, I'm at this stage, man, where, and I hope I never leave this stage, because every follower I get on any platform or any, you know, especially on the feeling good side, anybody who's, like, listened to our record or reposts our record or comments on a record, like, to me, man, I'm just excited to see it. Like, literally, like, I enjoy waking up and seeing that somebody has like followed this, and you know, so it wouldn't necessarily be a particular person, but just like anybody who's out there that like takes the time, you know, because I know that like I don't necessarily take the time to read through everybody's posts and everybody's things, you know.
Yeah.
So anybody who's really going to take the time to listen, even the fact that you said that you listened to the Poison record, to me, like that's exciting for me.
Yeah.
That you know anybody out there is listening. But obviously, like, there's people that I certainly look up to.
Mm-hmm.
Who
comes to mind?
I mean, to me, man, like, you know, in terms of that whole bilingual side, I feel like, you know, there's a lot of guys that are out there that have done that in the music side that I really look up to. A guy like Richie Houghton, sort of on the electronic side, is like a tremendous inspiration. Same with guys like on the hip hop side, like a Jay-Z, even mm-hmm. who, you know, are able to kind of go between those worlds, and even like Kanye to some degree. You know, I think I really appreciate his creative vision, and I think he has infrastructure. Otherwise, there would be no way he would be where he's at. You know, but you know, guys like that, I certainly like look up to who are, you know, who sort of are that bilingual straddle the line. And I think those would be the ones that would be most.
I think Kanye speaks his own language.
That's true. That is absolutely true. He's got like his own separate like lane for sure.
What's the last great book you read?
I didn't read it, but I listened to it, and it's Tony Robbins' Money. Tony Robbins' book on money, and that definitely opened up my eyes. This last election year has opened up a lot of things in me, as I know it's done for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Part of also me wanting to get into coaching is I actually want to take my skills of being bilingual and taking something complex and making it simple. I feel like I have the ability to do that.
Yeah.
I want to do that for financial literacy for creatives
cool.
as well. Nice. Like, I feel like there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of confusion that's out there around that. And I know myself in particular, I've avoided some of those harder concepts mm-hmm. and those, like, grown-up ideas of, like, taxes or budgeting yeah. or retirement, investment. Right. Like, I've avoided a lot of that for many years. And my friends who speak that language haven't done a great job at being able to translate that for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I can now, I've had a bit of an epiphany with it with another friend of mine. And we've been like kind of working on how we develop financial literacy for creative people and make it digestible and try to make it as fun as possible and make it not as scary for people.
That's totally there's a lot of people out there that need that. For sure.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Myself included. You know, I mean, it's finally I've created, this is the first time I've actually had life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this is the first time I've actually even thought about, like, what would happen. I mean, despite all the stuff I've told you already, you know, of, like, me trying to live day to day and, like, not really then planning for, like, my daughter's future, you know, and, like, and my wife's future, like, even there now. So to me, man, like, that's absolutely something that I really want to focus on with some of the coaching and some of that as well. So, yeah, but Tony Robbins' Money Book really opened me up. And actually, the concept of audiobooks has, you know, game I'm on changes. Radio. You have a radio show. Like, I don't want to deter anybody from, like, listening to radio. But at the same time, man, I mean, like, mix it up. Mix it up. Because I think a lot of people that are out there are listening to the same 20 songs over and over again. Like, mix it up, you know. And on that note, too, I've got my show over on Dash Radio. We're moving it to a morning show now.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be back in that same, like, sort of KTLA time frame, man. I'll be 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. every morning on Dash One. We're actually calling it Music Mornings with DJ Hoppa. So I'm sort of making a shift in my radio show to be able to, I think, give some more morning inspiration to people out there musically and otherwise. You know, we'll be talking about some of the stuff that we've even talked about in here on the morning show.
Cool. We're going to look for that.
Yep.
Okay. What movie have you seen the most?
I mean, probably something super cliche like the Godfather or something like that. You know what's one movie that I've watched over and over again, though, for inspiration? Michael Jordan's Playground.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, I mean, to me, that just, it brings me back to my childhood. It's like, it's just, it's great, man. It's like a great, like, it's Jordan in his prime. Like, it's cool. And then another one actually is The Secret.
Mm.
So The Law of Attraction and watching that. I've probably watched that actually the most out of everything.
Oh, wow.
The Secret, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's the first on this show.
Yeah, man. I mean, I'm about it. I love it.
Okay. And this might be the hardest question of the day.
Yeah.
Best DJ of all time.
Ooh. That is the hardest question. And I think the reason why it's the hardest question is because I think I've seen some of my idols have bad days. Yeah. And I've seen some of the most unknown DJs, like some local DJ or even a student of mine, just murder a set in a particular like setting. Like it was the right thing at the right time and just everything lined up. So that part is hard, man. I mean, best DJ?
Who would you say is your favorite DJ?
Man, I don't even know if I could give you that. It just always changes. It goes between a couple, though. Guys that I'd always be down to see. Always be down to see Jazzy Jeff. Always be down to see Z-Trip. Always be down to see Newmark. Always be down to see Qbert do anything. And then a lot of electronic guys now, because I'm just in that world. I'd always be down to see Skrillex or Steve Aoki play.
Okay.
Because I think what they bring to performance is just like next level, and so it's really tough to get to one. But I can tell you this: I actually think my favorite DJ is somebody that we haven't even discovered yet.
Mm.
Like I think it's somebody that will completely change the game.
Yeah.
That may be enrolling in a class in January 2017 at Scratch,
nice.
You know, and will literally become like my favorite DJ of all time, for sure.
So, you know, I wouldn't have you plug, but why, tell me why DJs should come to Scratch Academy.
I think, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to, a lot of us, we've are self-taught, you know, we haven't had the opportunity to even reevaluate why we do certain things. I was telling you, I went to this workshop over the weekend. It was a, essentially billed as a hosting workshop. I host a show every day. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't necessarily need the fundamentals of hosting.
Yeah.
What I got out of that class was next level and changed a lot of me even. So, you know, whether you're a, whether you're already a pro and you're trying to find different ways to enhance what you're doing, I know there's a lot of guys that are out there that probably listen to the show that maybe are stuck in a little bit of a rut creatively, potentially, or you're doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Absolutely.
You know, come get a different perspective on it. You know, just come and take maybe a lesson or something, and be okay to be in that, like, in that beginner's seat, you know? That we can learn a lot. Yeah. As experts, we can learn a lot by being in the beginner seat. And then I'd say for anybody who's just getting started, man, you know, we take a lot of the, we take a lot of those frustrating moments and like really sort of compartmentalize them and put them in a particular order so that there's some process, there's a reason for this, and you're sort of, you know, building the foundation of the house before putting the framing down, and then building the framing before putting, before trying to talk about paint color, you know. And I think that part of it is really important. And I think we've seen a lot of people get expedited that way. And yeah, I mean, it's a fantastic community on top of that. More than anything,
sure,
you'll find just great people and just, you know, people that will become lifelong friends, I imagine, even just being inside of a classroom.
Nice. Well, cool, man. I appreciate you being here. I know you got to get to your next thing.
Yeah, man. I appreciate
you
having me, man.
Definitely.
Thank you, dude.
Where does everybody find you online?
I'm at DJ Hapa, H-A-P-A on everything.
Okay.
There's some other guys that are out there. Shout out to them that spell their, that pronounce their name Hapa, but maybe spell it differently.
Okay.
So make sure DJ Hapa, H-A-P-A.
Yeah, man.
Excited for what the
Music
the
Mornings on Dash Radio.
Music Mornings on Dash Radio and a ton of other stuff. But yeah, stay updated on everything that we have going on. And man, I appreciate the time.
Absolutely.
Cool.
All right, thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed that. Shout out to DJ Hapa. Thank you for coming through with all those great insights. Make sure you tune in next week for more Rebel Radio. In the meantime, send us a message. Twitter, Facebook, watch the YouTube videos, leave us an iTunes review. Peace.